IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast supported by Pragati, a flagship media initiative of the Takshashila Institution. We're a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like to bring a fresh perspective to Indian affairs and an Indian perspective to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hi, welcome to today's episode. I've got Anupriya Mohta and I talking about tourism sector in India today. And we've been both working at Takshashila on a project to create 20 million jobs in India. And one of the big areas that we thought where India could use some help is if we can grow the tourism sector and use that to generate a large number of employment. So, Anu, what are your thoughts? What are your initial thoughts on this topic around tourism and jobs?
Thanks, Sridhar. Hi, everyone. I think it's no surprise that tourism has everyone's heart. Sridhar and I were discussing before we got on this call. Seeing the world is crucial, at least to me. And a lot of us, especially at my age, have wanderlust as well. And I think that is regardless of where you are in life, right? So tourism is something that's close to us. But having said that, I think the last 2 years, of course, have been really, really tough on the sector. We've seen a fall of over 50% in terms of how much the sector contributed to the global economy. And even though it's coming back, of course, things like Omicron have dampened the amount or the recovery pace, right? So while the impact on tourism is high, it also represents an opportunity. And Sridhar, I'd love for you to be able to share more on why you think tourism still represents an opportunity to create the next big set of jobs in India as well.
Yeah, I think tourism is very important. So let's look at some numbers here. Globally, if you look at tourism, tourism contributed in 2019 to about $9.8 trillion to the global GDP. And when we talk about $9.8 trillion, that's like about 12% of, in 2019, it was about 12% of global GDP itself. And that's a huge number when you're talking about, like, you know, one single industry which contributes such a large percentage of global GDP. And there was also some article which talked about how the tourism sector over the next 10 years can, like, you know, generate another 125 million jobs. And countries like India are well positioned to get about 15-20% of this 126 million. So we're talking about like 25 million jobs being created in India. There's a potentially being created in India over the next decade. And that's fantastic for somebody like us, someone like us who's like working on this project, believing that India needs 20 million jobs. And if you can find one sector which can just create like 2.5 million jobs each year, that's awesome. So I think it's, yeah, and these will be like well-paying jobs. And these are jobs which allow people, which can employ local people. Because as a tourist guide or as a host or as somebody who's working in a hotel or a restaurant and so on, there's so many jobs and so many different types of jobs which can be created in tourism. And it's not very hard to train somebody to work in this industry. It's not a very highly skilled job. There are some specific aspects of the job which might require more sophisticated and bigger, more expensive training. But I think a large percentage of people working in this industry do not require high levels of skill. I think it also employs a disproportionately large number of women, and it also offers great opportunity for the youth of India. And India's big problems with respect to employment has been its very low labor force participation rate among women, and also high and growing unemployment amongst the youth. So I think it's tourism which can it takes time. Tourism is something which can probably bridge the gap very quickly. And so from that perspective, I feel that it's a very important sector for us to be looking at. And that's why, Anu, I suggested that we talk about tourism today in the context of jobs.
Yeah, and just to substantiate some of what you said, I was looking up some data on what are the kind of jobs Because as you said, what comes to mind is typically who work directly front of office in hospitality. Having said that, a range of roles are required across tourism, right? From sales associates to chefs to engineers, which apparently are the most popular roles in the industry today, followed by housekeeping staff or travel agents. And what's interesting, though, is there is a huge demand for freshers, which is entry-level jobs between 0 to 3 years, followed by people with more experience, which, to your point, validates the fact that this could be one of those industries that employs a lot of youth. And it's also expected to grow in terms of how much it contributes to India's economy compared to 6.7% today to 7.2% of the total economy. So, Sridhar, yeah, it seems that from everything that we're saying, tourism is a good bet, especially for people like us who are working on this project. But how are we doing before this? Has tourism been a big, you know, moneymaker for us?
Yeah, okay. So, tourism at its peak in 2019 contributed almost $240 billion to India's economy. It's a very significant share. So, we are talking about over at that point, probably like 10% of India's GDP was contributed to by tourism. So, it is an important industry in India. But let's look at it from another perspective, right? India gets around, at its peak, it got about, I mean, depending on which data you look at, I mean, the best data I looked at told me that India got about 18 million tourists in 2019 or 2018 or 2019, right? While at the same time, France got 90 million tourists, UK got about 40 million tourists. When we look at numbers like that, and if you look at globally, over 1.3 billion people or something traveled that. So we're talking about India getting about 1.6% of all the tourists in the world. That's all India has been getting, right? India has been getting about 1.6% of the tourist traffic in the world. What can we do to, if we can increase that percentage in proportion to the size of our country, the variety that our country offers? I mean, you've got everything from the Himalayas to fabulous beaches to, like, you know, historic monuments to holy places to beautiful rivers and weddings. I mean, yeah, you've been talking a lot about weddings, Anu. I mean, you must tell me why.
There's no news to announce yet, Sridhar. weddings are a big cultural attraction. And to your point, there's culture, there's geography, there's so much in India.
Yeah, that's true. That does, like, you know, beg the question about, like, you know, why is India not tapping its real true potential when it comes to tourism? So that's one. And then if you look at another interesting statistic is that India has a very large domestic tourism sector, right? Very large number of Indians travel. And when they say they travel, I think, like, you know, how do you calculate somebody as a, count somebody as a tourist or not is very hard. So I think the way the government does it is to look at anybody who travels anywhere, gets into a bus, goes out of their town, or gets into a train and travels somewhere or whatever. But we have about 677 million domestic tourists. And, like, you know, maybe less than 10 million foreign tourists at the moment today, right? So, I mean, we're talking about like some 1% of our overall tourists are foreign tourists. But if you look at their contribution to GDP, the foreign tourists contribute about 15% of all the revenue that the tourism industry gets. So this 1% of the total number of tourists in India who are the foreign tourists, they actually contribute about 15% of our tourism sector's revenue. Therefore, attracting foreign tourists is a very good way of growing our sector. And because it's also more sustainable, because you have fewer people, and those are people who will come in and spend more money. Therefore, it does, like, you know, fewer people means less damage to the environment. Right? I mean, I'm just going about it from that perspective. It may not always be true, but I'm just saying that fewer people can contribute a lot more. Somehow it seems easier to get another million foreign tourists than to, in order to get equivalent revenue growth in through domestic tourists, we might have to get like another 20-30 million Indians to travel, right?
Yeah, you're right. It could be a volumes game. Having said that, I'd like to think we live in a post-COVID world. And I was looking at some of the numbers in terms of what happens in markets where there's a reliance on foreign tourists. Mm. And no surprise, domestic visitors actually corresponded to a stronger recovery post-2019-2021. And markets like Thailand, Singapore, Greece, which had a huge reliance on international visitors, actually saw recoveries very greatly simply because of travel restrictions and things not going back to pre-pandemic. So I do think there's value, especially as India's domestic tourist market also grows with disposable income growing, propensity to travel growing. As I very ineloquently put at the beginning of this podcast, is tourism is something that's close to most people's hearts across age range, economic, socioeconomic range, etc. There may be value in us thinking about, is there an infrastructure or is there a framework in which we can think through both international and domestic tourists and how we improve the situation?
Yeah, absolutely. I accept what you're saying, that, you know, domestic tourism has helped in a faster recovery for a country like India, while countries like Singapore, etc., are finding it even more difficult to recover, for their sector to recover. And I mean, it's true even of the UK, I mean, for that matter, right? I mean, UK is used to have 40 million foreign international visitors every year. Now they have less than 20 million people coming into their country today, right? So they haven't yet recovered. So I think, so it has a huge impact on an economy like the UK. But the World Economic Forum has put together, has been over the last 15 years driving a global competitiveness index for travel and tourism. And in that, they've evaluated some 117 countries. In the most recent one, they have not taken into account Ukraine, Russia, etc., and even China for that matter. But when they look at the 117 countries, India used to be at about 48, 46 or something, and now become 54. Right? It's 54 most competitive country in the world when it comes to this sector. And that explains our 1.64%, right? If, like, you know, why are people traveling to, and the most competitive is Japan, United States, Spain, many of the Western European countries, Germany, Switzerland, etc., are all there in the top 10. So if you look at the top 10, they are high-income Western European countries and Japan, right? But be that as it may, I think, like, you know, they've got a nice framework with a bunch of questions. And I like these frameworks with my consulting background. I think frameworks help you to think in a more structured fashion. Because otherwise, it just looks like, you know, so daunting. How do you grow this sector? And then you, each one comes up with one idea. And then, like, you say, hey, I can do this, I can do that. But I think they've got a very nice framework. The framework talks about five large things, essentially. And it talks, the first one is around, like, the environment itself. So what is the environment? What's the business environment? How is it? Is it safe and secure for people to travel in your country? What about health and hygiene? Is it a clean place? Are there healthcare facilities available, which in case somebody were to fall ill? Do you have the right number of people trained, etc.? Do you have a good labor market which can hire people so that, like, they can work in this sector? And also today, increasingly, about how digital are you, and is it easy to get your visa digitally? Is it easy to book tickets to your country, book hotels, book train tickets, and so on, and various things, right? So how digital also has a, so that environment is a big factor. The second thing in the framework is around, what is the government's policy towards travel and tourism, and what are the enabling conditions the government provides? Which they measure it in three different ways. They look at, one, does the government prioritize travel and tourism? Is it being talked about in your budget speeches and by the senior politicians? Do they talk about creating jobs? When they talk about creating jobs, do they talk about tourism as a big sector? When they talk about developing, growing GDP, do they talk about tourism? I think these are things that's important. How much does tourism get mentioned in politicians' speeches? And then it's about the real thing. I mean, like, you know, how easy is it to get a visa to visit your country? I was just talking to somebody, a friend of mine said they're moving to Hong Kong. And I said, hey, that's cool, because, like, you know, we can visit you without any difficulty. You can just, like, you know, there's no visa required, right? So the first thing that you think about is, like, you know, well, if I want to go visit my daughter in London, it's like I need to apply for a visa. I've got to give a huge amount of information in order to get the visa, etc. So it becomes more difficult. So I think, can you, like, you know, get visas do we easily to, for people to visit India? And I'm told it's not easy, right? So when people, I have had so many people who visit us from the US and other places, business travelers, and they don't find it very easy to sort of quickly get a visa. But now it's sort of things are opening up. There are a large number of countries for whom there is visa on arrival in our country and so on. But this is a factor that impacts, it's an important factor which drives tourism. The other one is around price competitiveness. I mean, is it like, does India offer value for money? Is it a highly taxed sector and so on? The third one is around infrastructure. I think, do you have good airports and ports and ground travel facilities and tourist service infrastructure and all that in place in order to facilitate tourism? Then there are some basic ones which are a little more difficult to influence. That is like, you know, what are the demand drivers? I mean, India is blessed with fabulous natural resources. We talked about it earlier. We talk about great beaches. You've got like, you know, mountains. You've got the plains. You've got the rivers. You've got all kinds of things. I mean, nature's really been generous when it comes to India, and it's we have. But how you keep them and what you do with them, do you keep it clean, etc.? I think coming back to point number one will sort of impact it. But otherwise, I think we do have that. And then they talk about cultural. I mean, India is a rich and varied history. So, which also means that we've got all these fabulous monuments and archaeological sites and so on, which could also attract a large number of tourists. And then what about non-leisure resources, like, you know, various other things that you could do in order to drive demand? And then about, I think finally, it comes down to people today are much more aware about the impact on the environment and, like, you know, does, is it possible for them to travel to India in an environmentally sustainable fashion? What is the socioeconomic resilience and conditions that exist in India, which makes tourism a pleasurable experience? And also, what is the impact of travel and tourism on local economy, the local resources? I was just reading about Spiti, where they had only one government hotel or something a few years ago. And today, there are 100 hotels in Spiti, 100 places where people can stay. They are running tankers, are supplying water to all these places. Ladakh used to have 30,000 tourists in a year. Now they have like some 400,000, 500,000 people visiting. And it's causing a big strain on the environment, and it will become an unpleasant experience and sort of suddenly become no longer a great place to visit, right? So this is the overall framework on which this World Economic Forum has been evaluating different countries. And they came up with a ranking, and that ranking shows that India is at 54, which is something that India needs to fix. And I think, like, you know, by fixing a few things, India can sort of get ahead. I think that's really about the framework. Yeah.
No, this is an awesome framework, Chetan. And I was, as you were chatting through it, I was just thinking of what's a country that maybe we can take inspiration from. Because on the same framework, Vietnam has crept up quite a bit. I was just talking to a friend this Friday. We went out and he was telling me about how they're going to Vietnam next week. And it's just, I've seen so many people there and I was just wondering what they've gotten right. And it's most things against this framework, right? Initially, it was seen as an adventure destination. Something for foreign West tourists to actually come in and experience this backpacking experience. But over time, they've made it more accessible to people from Asia Pacific, who have higher disposable income. Market players have gotten aggressive about advertising digital first options. There's a budget for everybody. There's specialty things like food tourism, thanks to Anthony Bourdain, who's made Faux famous internationally, is what I'm told. And then there is, of course, rich geographical diversity that can be experienced, right, from paddy fields to beaches to mountains, right? And what they seem to have gotten really right is also the fact that they're offering green transport options, green options, sustainable options, and minimizing your footprint in the country, right? So as you were talking through the framework, a lot of it went check, check, check in my head. And it seems like there are lessons that India can take from our own neighbors in terms of how to do this better. Right. So should we talk maybe about some audacious ideas to improve tourism in India?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and start? Oh, no, I think it's good. I think because it's the old ones around, yeah, I mean, India, I think there are a few which are sort of basic. I think we all know and appreciate the need to make India a safer destination for, especially for single women travelers, etc. And I think that's something that we all know, but I think we're all struggling to find ways and means of doing it. I think it's not that governments don't want to make it safe and secure. It's not that the governments do not know that it has to happen. It just seems to be quite challenging for a country of India's size and the diversity to make that happen overnight. I think so that's something that we need to work on. Health and hygiene, I think there's definitely been some improvement over the last few years. Now, there has been a little more. I mean, it is. I remember traveling 10, 15 years ago and public toilets were really awful. Today, we are in a position to use public toilets at various parts, at least within cities and on the highway near the toll booth, etc. The toilets are cleaner. Even the toilets in the train are like better than they used to be in the past. So I think that's sort of improving, but it's definitely nowhere close to international standards and expectations. Right. So we know that and we are trying to work towards it. But that's something to be done. I think India is quite digital. I think that part of it, I think India has done extremely well. It's become very easy for travelers to, like, you know, book tickets, apply for various things, etc., digitally. So I think that part is good. But I think there are some more things which can be done with respect to making it easy for people to travel, the visas and all that to be done. I think that can be done. But here's an audacious idea, as you would call it. I mean, you're talking about the visa thing and you had some ideas there. Why don't you talk about it?
Yeah, I think it was just something that came up in a conversation. Like, EU has Schengen, makes it easier for you to travel across borders. Should India be taking advantage of the fact that we have neighbors who do really well in tourism and have a visa provision that can allow you to go across India, Vietnam, Singapore, Sri Lanka, etc.? So that could be an idea, more open borders, essentially, which could help us take advantage of the burgeoning tourism industry within Asia Pacific as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea. And I think I've always wondered why we don't do that. Because I think if you look at many countries in Europe, before this Schengen visa was instituted, I think people would go and travel to the UK, people travel to Paris, they would go to France, or they might go to Switzerland. Now, because of this visa, now so many other countries in Europe are getting tourists. And because it's easy to sort of travel between countries, people just take a short train ride. Even going in for a couple of days, they go and see a new country and come back. All that would happen. So I think you would have people traveling to India more if, like, the visa environment was much easier. And if we could partner with a bunch of countries in the neighborhood and promote tourism in just both between each other and also foreigners who want to travel to this part of the country. So I think that's a very good idea. The other thing that, you know, I was reading a nice article about some experts in the tourism industry and what they have to say about what needs to be done to sort of fix tourism in India and to grow this industry and help it to realize its potential. One of the things that they talked about is microtourism. I mean, you talked about the need to do it in a more sustainable fashion. We talked about how places like Ladakh and Spiti, etc., are being sort of already starting to face difficulties with respect to the increase in number of tourists. I used to go to Kodaikanal as a child and it was beautiful, and now it's like it's so crowded. Ooty was already very crowded when I was growing up, and now it's like pretty impossible to travel to. So there are so many of these places, they're so beautiful, but number of tourists in those places have like far outstripped the capacity of those towns to support, right? So they don't have enough water, electricity, roads, etc. to handle the number of tourists who come there. So I think that's going to be very important. But India is a large country. There are large parts of our country which don't get visited at all. And if we can improve the infrastructure and access to these places, we could promote microtourism. We could have like people in the locals could get jobs. It could be staying in local homes. It could be eating local food. And it could be a very nice, sustainable way by which tourism can grow in this country. And it would be beautiful. But I don't know honestly about how much of a contribution this microtourism can do to growth of tourism in India. But I do see it as potentially a very good thing. The other interesting idea that I read was around the fact we have, I'd gone for a conference a few weeks back. And when I was at this conference, there were people from the government from the tourism department talking about tourism and the need to increase the number of tourists to India to 100 million tourists. So that's what they want. They want 100 million foreign tourists to visit India over the next 10 years, right? So they want to make that happen. And they want to increase the contribution of tourism industry to GDP up to about 12-13%, right? This is wonderful. And I think, like, you know, it's all doable. But I'm not sure that they have all the ideas around what needs to be done to make it happen. Like, you know, you need more airports. The tourism industry department may not have the right to decide how many new airports will be built, right? But I think so. The industry bodies are quite active. And the industry bodies are much more in touch with the tourists themselves. And they meet the tourists. They have a feedback mechanism. You were talking when we were chatting a little bit earlier. You said, like, you know, there isn't a good feedback mechanism. We don't know what tourists liked about visiting India, what they didn't like about visiting India. But these industry bodies do know. And there's apparently an industry body called FAITH. And this FAITH is a conglomerate of various industry bodies, etc. And so why can't you have organizations like FAITH actually take charge of putting together a plan for India and, like, you know, be given the mandate to do something about it? I think, I mean, like, take it away from government and put it more in the hands of private bodies to sort of at least come up with the ideas and do many of these other changes. It might be difficult for them to build ports and build better roads and trains, etc. But other things, I think they can definitely do.
Interesting. I think lots of different ideas. One last idea that I want to chat about as well was the growth of medical tourism in India. India has started to emerge as a really popular destination thanks to both traditional and allopathic forms of medicines and just how good our healthcare system is. I used to live in Hyderabad and there were floors dedicated to foreign travelers coming in for treatment, which was extremely interesting for me to see. And apparently there is a will and an ability for this to generate an additional $9 billion in patient inflow to India just from within this medical tourism space itself, right? So a few things I was reading up. I think the ministry has done things like make special provision of medical visas available, create a one-stop portal that provides credible information, etc. But there is a lot more that can be done, especially from local or neighboring nations, because that's where most of our medical tourists tend to come in from. Is providing maybe budget options, providing multiple levels of support, right, from handholding of visas to understanding what does good quality care look like. Yeah, this could be another interesting place for us to really invest in.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think, like, you know, medical tourism does offer great opportunities, but it's also important for us to remember a few things. That India does not have enough doctors per 100,000 people. The number of doctors that we have is way below global average. We don't have enough primary health centers. We don't have access to healthcare is very poor for a large sections of our population. The growth in medical tourism could make the gap even bigger. It would make it even less in the incentive for lower cost healthcare being accessible to large number of Indians would become even more difficult given the demand from high paying foreign tourists. But it can also mean that, you know, this will improve the overall quality and care levels in hospitals based on now they see that there's a new set of customers who want slightly different kinds of facilities. And that infrastructure will then be available for our domestic patients as well. So I think it could be a win-win. It could be a way by which we can grow our healthcare sector more effectively. I know that the government has increased the number. Over the last decade, we've had double the number of medical college seats in our country. And therefore, we will then have more doctors. Once there are more doctors, there can be more hospitals and more better facilities. But without us increasing the number of doctors, that's going to be a little more difficult to grow. Yeah. That's my sort of view.
Yeah, it also be the, because these are obviously higher value tickets. So as to say, it could also give us the push to help incentivize more people to enter medical fields. And as I was reading on medical tourism, it's not just about traditional forms of medicine, but also Ayush, which is growing, like Ayurveda, yoga, and traditional forms of medicine, which have always been popular for foreign tourists. It's an idea, as we said at the beginning, probably an audacious one, but I think we've spoken quite a bit about things that we could do to help improve the sector. And this looks like this is the one sector that could do with a lot more investment from us in the space, especially now that we come out of COVID and its impact on the world.
And as we say in India, Atithi Devo Bhava. All right. So thank you very much, Anu. Thank you very much, Anu. It was wonderful talking to you as always. And yeah, so let's hope that India does achieve its potential in our lifetime with respect to tourism. Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle, @TakshashilaInst, or our website, takshashila.org.in.